just limited to Imam Hussein salawatullahi wasalam alayhi, I would say it is special and unique for Imam Hussein.
For Imam Hussein.
Why? Because all infallible Imams, even Prophet, wanted to put their finger and call the attention just to Imam Abu Abdullah Hussein. Because he's the source, he's the core, he's the reference. Mm. When people come to know Islam through the gate of Hussein, then it remains. So it is a borderline. So advising, emphasizing on the commemoration of 40th of just Imam Hussein is a way to call all attentions to Imam Hussein and through him to other infallibles. Even you don't do such a thing for Imam Ali, for Imam Hassan.
No. Sheikh, now before we continue to a crucial question of our topic, the message of Arba'een, I asked you in our previous program about the thawab or the rewards one gets by walking to the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, or to go and visit Imam Hussein in the day of Arba'een, on the day of Arba'een. What kind of thawab is it? I mean, we sometimes read that for every step you take towards Karbala, this and that and this and so much of your sins would be erased, or that visiting the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is this much worth, and so on mm-hmm. and so forth. Could you please give us some specific
We have ahadith. Two types of ahadith in this regard, both from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the story of his martyrdom was announced even at the time of Prophet Muhammad, and we have different stories and dialogue between Prophet and Fatima al-Zahra and other companions that he provided and proclaimed. But we have both from Prophet and infallibles, two types of ahadith with regard to the rewards, not only on Arba'een, for all visitings, particularly on the day of Ashura number one, and on the day of Arba'een number two. One category of ahadith goes by providing degrees and hasanats by each and every step that you take to go to the shrine of Imam Hussein. By each step, you will receive one degree. And by each step, you will be released from one sin. So, release from sin and receiving the degrees, hasanat and sayyat, adding of your hasanat and removing of your sayyat. This is one. And each visit of Imam Hussein equal to a hajj and umrah. Sometimes 7. Sometimes to Ibn Abbas 70.
Subhanallah.
One visit of Imam Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Could you please explain why?
You know, this discussion could have two dimensions. Number one, is someone Shia or Sunni could claim that visiting the shrine of Imam Abu Abdullah al-Hussein will replace the obligatory of Hajj? Of course,
no.
Of course, of course, three times. No.
No.
Obligation of Hajj is obligation of Hajj, and visiting of the shrine of Imam Hussein is not obligation.
It's recommended.
It's recommended.
So how can a recommended act
be... Do not be mistaken in this regard. Okay. But you may ask me, okay, if it is not replaced, if they cannot be substituted, so what... Isn't it a type of exaggeration?
No. How can a recommended act be greater in reward than a obligatory?
This goes back
Doesn't
to the
this
philosophy.
Go against mantiq or reason?
This goes back to the philosophy of visit. You know, why do you go to Hajj? From number one, to do your obligation. It's an obligation. Okay. But at the same time, when you go to Hajj and you don't take the taste, you don't take the message, So even you go 10 times, 20 times to Hajj, but you stay at the surface. You know, when you go to Hajj, it says, مَغَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضْعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا فِيهَا آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ مَغَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. What is ayah? There are some signals. There are some signs. Mm. If you go to Hajj, but you are illiterate, you are disregarding these types of... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not talking in a joke way. فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ. There are some very explicit, clear signals. مَغَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. So you need to pay attention to the position of Ibrahim. And it's very important that your tawaf, circumambulation, must be between Kaaba and Ibrahim. So the visit of Shrine of Abdullah al-Hussein is not replacing with Hajj, but Prophet and other infallibles are encouraging us to go to this shrine, because if we follow Hussein, if we follow Imam, if we follow infallible Imam, then we go to Hajj. If we do not follow Imam, then on short run, we lose to go to Hajj. So this is because of the protection of that obligation, not just to put as a kind of competition. Mm. If you follow Imam, then you follow Hajj. If you have your clear role model, then you go to Hajj. Who is going to protect the continuity of obligation of Hajj? Imam of the time. So if you do not have the Imam of the time, then on long run you gradually lose all pillars.
All right.
In homage to Hussein, Muslims from all over the world come to visit his shrine in Karbala. Many centuries have passed since his revolution sent shockwaves through the Islamic world. Yet they still come. At the time of Arba'in, 40 days after the day of Ashura, on the 20th of the second Islamic month, Safar, they come in their millions. It is estimated that well over 15 million Zawar, or visitors, came in 2011 over the 10 days of Arba'in, and they came from all over the world.
The real message is to live like Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
It's like an awakening, a cry for what's happening, the oppression all around the world.
We can all be good Muslims, and if anyone falls behind, we bring him forward with us.
You see all the oppression that's occurring in countries, for example, in Bahrain, in Libya, in Yemen, and other countries. And Hussein is a person they can look up to. Whenever they feel they have no hope, they look at the incident that occurred in Karbala, and then they think, look, we have hope.
According to narrations from the Holy Prophet and his family, the Ahlul Bayt, there is great reward for visiting the grave of Imam Hussein, the third Imam of the Shia Muslims. There is an even greater reward for going on foot. Imam Ja'far bin Muhammad al-Sadiq has said, Allah will register 1,000 good deeds and erase 1,000 bad deeds for every step taken by those who go to visit the grave of Hussein on foot.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to program Heaven in Grief, and a special program about the topic of Arba'in. The most crucial question we have here for our dear listeners is the message of Arba'in. What can we learn from Arba'in and the message of Imam Hussein there?
To me, there are different messages. Number one, Arba'in could be considered as the conclusion and results of the movement of Imam Abu Abdullah al-Hussein on the year 61. If you just cut it off on the day of Ashura, then there are many events, happenings after that. The complementary aspect of Imam movement is not just in Nineveh. It is in Kufa. It is in Sham. It is in Medina. The continuity of Imamate was through Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, then through Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, then Ja'far al-Sadiq. So, one good conclusion is that if you remove Arba'een, you do not come up with the complementary image of Imam's movement. Number two, Arba'een provide you a message, and that message is reaction against oppression. Those who believe in Arba'een, when they visit the shrine of Imam Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, they know that Imam, in all sayings, in all actions, in all dimension of his movement, was persisting on the fact of resistance against tyranny, resistance against oppression. And more important, when Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari was visiting Imam Abu Abdullah al-Hussein's grave on the day of 40th, Atiyatul Awfi, one of the interpreters of the Holy Quran, was with him. And Jabir provided some narrations from Prophet. Atiyah got astonished, got shocked.
Surprised.
He said, "Do you mean this?" Jabir said, "Yes. I heard it with these ears."
Yeah.
And referred to his both ears. Look. وَالَّذِي بَعَثَ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِالْحَقِّ نَبِيًّا. I swear to Allah who sent Prophet Muhammad in truthful way as a prophet. لَقَدْ شَارَكْنَاكُمْ فِي مَا دَخَلْتُمْ فِيهِ. Jabir was addressing Imam Hussein, was visiting the grave, and on the grave he said, لَقَدْ شَارَكْنَاكُمْ فِي مَا دَخَلْتُمْ فِيهِ. We have shared you the same reward. O Hussein, we did not fight along with you, but we are sharing the same reward as you. وَالَّذِي بَعَثَ مُحَمَّدًا فَقَالَ لَهُ عَتِيَةُ الْعُوفِي كَيْفَ.
How is it possible?
وَلَمْ نَهْبِتْ وَادِيًا وَلَمْ نَعَلْ جَبَلًا وَلَمْ نَضْرِبْ بِالسَّيْفِ. How come we didn't do anything? We didn't climb any mountain. We didn't
fight with the sword.
Throw any sword. We didn't fight with sword. We did nothing. وَالْقَوْمْ قَدْ فُرِّقَ بَيْنَ رُؤُوسِهِمْ وَأَبْنَانِهِمْ. They were killed. They were slaughtered. They were
massacred
in a way that, heads are on one side and the body on the other side. وَأُوْتِمَتْ أَوْلَادَهُمْ. Their children got orphans, وَأُرْمِلَتِ الْأَزْوَاجِ, and their wives got widows. So, it's too much to say that. فَقَالَ لَهُ جَابِرٌ إِنِّي سَمِعْتُ حَبِيبِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I heard
from my
beloved friend, رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ مَنْ أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا كَانَ مَعَهُمْ. How do you translate this? مَنْ أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا كَانَ مَعَهُمْ. If you love someone, if you love a group, if you love a nation, if you love a country, if you love a culture, مَنْ أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا كَانَ مَعَهُمْ.
The one who loves a nation or people or a tribe,
you will be with
them. You will be with them.
You are sided with them. Just because of your love. Because all movements begins with what?
Love.
If you love someone, you go through. You conduct the same. You perform the same. So love is the beginning. And love cannot be artificial. Said Wahid, could you love me in a real way for nothing? You come to me and say, that, Shamily, you know, I love you from the bottom of my heart, and I would do whatever you wish. You don't say this.
No.
When you love your wife, you put sacrifice. When you love your teacher, you would do sacrifice. When you love your parents, you would do sacrifice. So sacrifice, behavior, and action stems from love. Look, this is one. Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari is providing explanation. I'm just providing you the explanation for your previous question also. You told me, Dr. Shamily, is it really equal with Hajj?
Even more than Hajj.
Even more than Hajj? 10 times? 7 times? 70 times?
200 times, according to some narration.
Yes, because when you come to Hussein and you visit, gradually you tend to be with him, with his way, his school, his thought, his tradition, his manner, his custom, and whatever. Look, سمعت حبيبي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من أحب قوما كان معهم. If you love someone or some group, you will be with them. Both here, in this world, and in hereafter. Again, ومن أحب عمل قوما أشرك في عمله. If you love the way of behavior of a group, of a nation, there are happenings in Egypt, in Libya, in Yemen, in Bahrain. Do you hate or do you love? Which one? Whatever you love or hate, you will be with them.
Yes.
Okay.
Sheikh, if you could.
والذي, then this is my last point.
All right.
Then Jabir said, والذي بعث محمدا بالحق نبيا. I swear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent Prophet as the Prophet. إن نيتي ونية أصحابي على ما مضى عليه الحسين وأصحابه. My intention, although I was not able, I was not fortunate enough to be with Hussein, but my intention, my thinking, my wishes, my eager is exactly with Hussein. So if you have such a heart, then even at the age of 21st century, how do you do? What do you do? The way of Yazid or the way of Hussein? This is the philosophy of encouragement of people to come to Hussein.
Now, Sheikh Shamily, you mentioned a couple of points. I think, if I'm not mistaken, 4 points.
Okay.
Could you please wrap them up? We have a couple of minutes left, but I would like you to wrap them up for our dear listeners.
You know, Arba'in provide you the culture of resistance.
Yes.
Don't cut it off the way that you go through.
The culture of resistance.
Resistance and completeness.
The school of resistance.
Okay. When you look at Arba'in, Arba'in provides you the opportunity. Don't think that while you are not able to be with Hussein, everything has finished. Still, the gate is open. The gate of Hussein is
even in the 21st century.
Open. If you try to correct your intention and correct your
heart,
then you will be against oppression and beside the oppressed.
Mm.
So this is a lesson.
Yes.
You know, and also when you just put together all the words of Imam Abu Abdullah Hussein from Medina to 10th of Muharram, you will come up with one word. This world is not the end of the life. It's just a farm for you. It's a market.
A dunya mazra'a?
Mazra'atul. It's a place for test.
A dunya mazra'atul
akhira.
Akhira.
And sometimes they say this dunya is like a market. You just enter from one side and you get out from the other side. Some losers and some
winners. So I think you want to recite Maqtal for us?
Yes.
So I will let you take over for the Maqtal.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. As I told you, in each and every occasion, we inherited the special type of supplication to address Hussein, to approach Hussein, and to come closer to Hussein, a remaining candle all over the world, all over the history. This is a special supplication on the day of Arba'een. السلام على ولي الله وحبيبه، السلام على خليل الله ونجيبه، السلام على صفي الله وابن صفيه، السلام على الحسين المظلوم الشهيد، السلام على أسير الكربات وقتيل العبرات. اللهم إني أشهد أنه وليك وابن وليك وصفيك وابن صفيك الفائز بكرامتك، أكرمته بالشهادة وحبوته بالسعادة واجتبيته بطيب الولادة. يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين. Peace be on the favorite of Allah. Peace be on the beloved friend of Allah, his distinguished hero. Peace be on the choicest confidant of Allah, sincerely attached, precisely like his father. Peace be on Hussein, who gave his life in the way of Allah, a martyr, underwent untold hardships. Peace be on the hostage surrounded by the tightening circle of sorrow and grief, killed by a horde of savages.
Jazakallah khairan wa tayyiballah anfusikum. Thank you very much, Sheikh. And I hope that we will have you in future programs also.
Thank you.
That's all for Arba'een, and I hope that you, dear listeners, have increased your knowledge about this topic, and I wish you the best, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with all of you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We will protect you, oh Hussein, oh Hussein. We will protect you. We Sotek, Sotek. Oh Hussein, oh Hussein. One more time. We will protect. But we will give my soul, will live for you. I shout Hussein, tears drop like rain for you. My love is so true, oh Hussein, oh Hussein. We will protect you, we will.
This is the teacher. We will tell you the story of the martyrs of the sacred defense of Iran.
من کتابی خوندم مربوط به شهید ابراهیم هادی.
I have read a book about Shahid Ibrahim Hadi.
Shahid Ibrahim Hadi, one of the great martyrs of the Iranian sacred defense, had the duty of taking back the wounded.
O Allah, the love of the Islamic revolution and the great leader of the revolution is so flaming in me that even if I am cut into pieces or subjected to the worst
Today's story, The Life and Character of Shahid Ibrahim Hadi. Dear listeners, one of the great martyrs of the Iranian sacred defense against the regime of Saddam during the Iran-Iraq War is Shahid Ibrahim Hadi. Shahid Hadi was born on April 21, 1957 in Tehran. Shahid Ibrahim Hadi's father very much loved him. Shahid Ibrahim Hadi was present in religious gatherings and was a student of Allama Muhammad Taqi Jafari, the great Islamic scholar. This really had a big impact on his character. Shahid Hadi displayed great bravery during the victory of the Islamic Revolution. During the Islamic Revolution, Shahid Ibrahim Hadi displayed great acts of bravery. At the same time that he was studying, he worked in Tehran Bazaar. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Shahid Ibrahim Hadi went to the Physical Education Organization of Iran, and afterwards, he was transferred to the Department of Education. Shahid Ibrahim Hadi engaged in educating children of Iran as a selfless teacher.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. One day, Shahid Ibrahim Hadi, one of the famous martyrs of the Iranian sacred defense, was on his friend's motorcycle during the first year of the Iran-Iraq War, when he suddenly told his friend to stop. Shahid Hadi said, "Let's go and see someone." His friend said that they went to a house along with Shahid Hadi. When they entered the house, several people were sitting in a room. An old man with a black cloak and a small cap was sitting in a higher place of the house. Shahid Hadi and his friend greeted him and sat down in the corner of the room. The old man turned his face to us and smiled, saying, "Mr. Ibrahim, well, look who's here. What a surprise you've come to see me." Shahid Hadi looked down and politely said, "I'm very sorry, Hajar. I don't have much time to be in your presence." After everyone left the house, that old man turned to Shahid Ibrahim Hadi and said, "Okay, Mr. Hadi, could you give me advice?" Shahid Ibrahim Hadi blushed and said, "Please don't embarrass me, Hajar. Don't talk like that. We have come here to see you. Who was this old man?" This old man was one of the saints of Allah, who many people of that time probably didn't know. He was the late Ismail Dulabi, whom many people now know. And now, the Supreme Leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, talks about the martyrs of the Iranian sacred defense, including Shahid Ibrahim Hadi.
من کتابی خوندم مربوط به شهید ابراهیم هادی. خب این خیلی کتاب جالبیه.
I have read a book about Shahid Ibrahim Hadi. That was really an interesting book. When I read that book, I could not put it away from my reading table, away to my bookshelf for a long time. The reason was the charisma of the main character in this book. This character is so charismatic that it attracts everyone like a magnet.
بگردید این شخصیت‌ها رو پیدا کنید. از این قبیل شخصیت‌های
We must look for such great personalities like Shahid Ibrahim Hadi and write books about them. Now, many of these great men were not commanders or top generals at the time of the sacred defense of Iran against Iraq, but there are many beautiful stories and adventures about them.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. Shahid Ibrahim Hadi, one of the great martyrs of the Iranian sacred defense, had the duty of taking back the wounded and injured bodies of the soldiers of Islam during the Iran-Iraq War. The way that he was martyred is very unusual. While he was at the fronts, he was fighting hard against the enemies, the mercenaries of the Aryan powers. Shahid Hadi would go to and fro firing RPGs and PK machine guns. Almost all of his comrades had fallen, and he was resisting the Iraqi forces alone, just like a hero. Just like a Pahlavan, which he came to be called. Ultimately, Shahid Ibrahim Hadi was shot and martyred. His body was never found after his martyrdom. Such martyrs are known as Mafqud al-Asar, meaning there is no sign of them. Either they don't know that they have been martyred or not, or they have been martyred, but their body has never been found. This was Shahid Ibrahim Hadi, the great martyr of the Iranian sacred defense. May Allah bless him and elevate his ranks. And now, Sister Zainab reads to us an excerpt of the last will of today's Shaheed.
Allah, the love of the Islamic Revolution and the great leader of the revolution is so flaming in me that even if I am cut into pieces or subjected to the worst tortures, I will not leave Imam alone. And as one out of the people of the Muslim nation, I would like to remind the entire nation, especially the authorities, that you should always be in the direction of Islam and the Holy Quran. And no issue or way should deviate you from the purpose that you have.
Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of The Teacher, which was about Shahid Ibrahim Hadi. Please don't forget to log on to our website, parstoday.com, and click on the link, The Call of Islam, to listen to this program, as well as our other programs. You could also email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the speeches and thoughts of the leader of Iran, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two Islamic experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Qasim Muhammadi and Brother Ali Alavian. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So in a series of the program viewpoints regarding the speeches of the leader of Iran, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, we are mainly concerned with the role that the human beings might have in this life and how Islam and a religious leader like Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei look at human beings in different aspects and dimensions. We got into the topic of the comparison that he has made regarding human beings in the Islamic school of thought, or it's better to say Shia school of thought, and the other non-religious one, especially the opposite pole, that is the liberal capital one or the Western one, which very much is referred as the Western humanism. Okay, Brother Ali Alavian, do you believe that this human centrism in the world has got into atheism? I mean, not believing in a power like supernatural, like God or something like that?
Definitely, this is the result that we see at the fruit of this actually worldview. It's showing itself in our today's life. When you see the man or the human as the center of the universe, and you actually neglect the role of God, and whatever pleasure is going to be obtained for the sake of the human being, then you do not look at the other side, and that is the role of the Creator. Look, the kind of development that we have in mind actually refers to the epistemological look and epistemological foundation that we have defined for ourselves. This kind of look tells us what kind of progress and development is good and what kind of progress and development is bad. When you look at the type of the human beings in general, this is what the Islamic look actually tells us. When you have the benefits and the profits of a certain group of people, and they are the ones who decide for the others, actually it is something totally different with the worldview that we have defined in an Islamic one.
The humans are the same from the same, although different races, languages,
colors. In Quran, Allah
says
that if you save a life, it is as if you have saved the whole world's life. And if you kill a person, it's as if you have killed the whole people of the inhabitant of the whole earth. So it means that every single person's right is observed here. So you cannot say that since I am the center of the world and all the actually inclinations of mine are going to be respected and valued, that others are not that much important, and everyone and every person says the same thing. So definitely the rule of jungle will be actually ruling there, and then definitely and the natural consequence of that would be that some of the people will miss their rights and some
isn't
will.
Isn't it so? We are living in a jungle, man. How human beings with all this technological...
We are here to criticize this wrong system, bro.
Yes, I do want to say, what happened to the human being that left aside all the spiritual developments and got to this level that by his own hands he can destroy himself. And look at what we are doing to the natural resources around by all these technologies and human centrism.
And the result of which is that a certain group, a limited group of people are benefiting from whatever...
Who has more power and money and
more
weapon.
More power and money and wealth, So this is the result. And we are actually criticizing and actually comparing it with an Islamic worldview, which is totally for the sake of humanity. And then at the same time, the role of the Creator has been actually looked at earlier.
And the problems are getting more and more, and the people all around the world are looking for calmness and tranquility inside the mind. So through psychology or doing yoga or something like that, they cannot find calmness. But I think that Islam and peaceful religions like Islam, Abrahamic religions, has specific prescriptions for them in order to solve the human beings and get them back into the right back. And I think this is very much, Sheikh Qasim, very much related to the very innate nature of the fitrah of the human being to act godly in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. So this is exactly how you described it. You know, when these human beings, you know, they are seeking a spirituality where it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So the main problem with those sorts of spiritualities is that, you know, they don't give you the goal, you know. They're just trying to sort of, you know, manipulate you and sort of busy with whatever you're doing now, mm-hmm. but at the same time you have a sort of, you know, a calm mind, something like that. So, but at the end of the day, when you ask that person, actually I have met these, you know, such people who try their best to be a spiritual, but since there's something very, very special and crucial missing in their lives, which is the goal, so they don't get anywhere, you know. So there's okay. So they, you know, every day they get up, you know, do yoga or, you know, other ways of, you know, gaining these sorts of, you know, spiritualities. But yeah, at the end of the day, when you ask them, all right, okay, what are you going to do, you know, the day tomorrow? And what if you die tonight or today? What would you do and what would happen? Because they don't believe in a final goal.
That's
right. So that's everything is just, you know,
transient in this world. Yes. And, you know, the type of the pleasures that they are looking after in today's world are various. You know, day by day, the human beings are getting developed by this technology and all these developments. And the type of the pleasures that they are after is becoming limited and limited. Mm. So they are looking for new types of pleasures, sometimes getting to extremes, you know, and doing harsh things around to the human beings, to the animals. And, you know, just look at how in today's world, the mind and the complete rationale of the people who are ready in order to kill the other people. From the other side, Brother Ali Alavian, I think the true understanding of guts and terrorism is also important. Mm. Because in the faithful system or the believing system, we can find also see extremism too. The people who has got extreme and through their God centrism at the look, they are ready to kill people for the sake of God.
Mm.
What's your critique on that, brother?
Look, when the concept of pleasure actually loses its meaning only to a materialistic one,
mm-hmm.
then you are ready to sacrifice even the other aspects or, let's say, factors in your life for that sake. And even spirituality can be sacrificed. When there is no spirituality, when there is no one that you account for, when there is no God that you actually need to be obedient for, then you find this right for yourself to do whatever you like and whatever you wish. So this is the difference. When you just limit the concept of pleasure to the worldly and material pleasures,
okay.
and they are actually day by day, they are changing to new and newer, let's say,
formats,
kinds of pleasures,
right.
and formats, then the spiritual pleasure, which is by far very stronger and, let's say, heavier than that, and they have never yet actually practiced it, will lose its meaning and cannot be found in their lives. Then they find a sort of complete and absolute freedom for themselves.
So you mean
then there is no border or
okay.
boundaries for themselves to find themselves in this, let's say, circle of, let's say, set of beliefs.
So regarding this extremism inside the religions, do you believe that they are after satisfying their own physical pleasures in the name of Allah, in the name of God, in the name of religion?
Look, brother, we are not talking now about all the religions. We are going to talk about the
viewpoint
of Islam and the moderate Muhammadan Islam that we are introducing, which is the core of our,
okay.
let's say, discussion here and debate, if I can call it a debate.
Yes.
Is that pure Muhammadan Islam that we have understood from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet and his household and progeny? So in this kind of, in this, let's say, version and in this format of Islam, there is no extremism. Whatever you say is exactly based on logic, based on, let's say, a very beautiful reasoning that no one can actually deny and, let's say, criticize any part of it. In case we are, even in that case, it is ready to be criticized. We are the men of learning more to see what the problem is there. So when we are saying that we are defending this version of Islam,
that's
it
right.
means that there is no extremism, like, for example, what we have seen and we have witnessed from ISIS or other
yes.
extremist groups in the world.
Yes.
So these sort of version, these sort of activities cannot be found in this version that we are talking about.
That's right. I think even this religious look at the world, in case of extremism, might get into absolute self-centerism and human-centerism in the world, because this God that they are making in this in their mind is a kind of hallucination, is a kind of illusion. So through the artificial God that they have made through their minds, they're going to kill other people, kill themselves, you know, suicide bombing or something like that. And this is what Western humanism might criticize some of the religious lands or countries, that your God-centerism might get into this way. But their definition of Islam is
exactly that. This God-centerism will never ever lead to that format of, let's say, Islam. And look, at the very beginning of this discussion, I mentioned two verses of the Holy Quran. One was من قتل نفسا فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. If a person kills another person, it's as if he has killed the whole world. So let's just find this simple concept in active in extremist groups. We have seen that they have killed lots of not even non-Muslim and Muslims.
Yes.
So so can they cannot be actually looked at, for example, the followers of this school that we are talking about.
That's right.
In case you want to kill a person, you are not allowed, firstly, you are not allowed to kill any person in the world.
That's all right.
And without any reason. And with a reason, there is a permission needed. There is a permission needed by issued by the ruler of Islamic Ummah. And then there are lots of legitimate, let's say, stages that it's out of our discussion.
That's right.
But I want to say, even for this simple point, they cannot be looked at follower of this concept that we are defending and talking about.
Okay. And so God-centerism has to be defined in the true sense of the word. And I think through true definition of God-centerism in today's world, we can criticize Western humanism.
Mm-hmm.
If they look at Islam, this is what Professor Edward Said in his book Orientalism has mentioned. You know, if the picture that is gonna made, you know, out of the Western world is as if they have made out of the Arab world or the Muslims in their own lands, then we are getting the wrong way. So the definitions has to be redefined. I mean, the true definitions has to be given. Sheikh Hassan Mohammadi, any final comments on this?
I just want to add some one more comment on what my brother said earlier.
Very good.
That is, you know, the thing that we're talking about here is the prescription that is given by the pure Islam, and the sources, actually the authentic sources of Islam. And for sure, no, those actually prescriptions could be misunderstood or misread and or, you know, misused. And this is what we actually see happening in, you know, those extremists and extremism that we can actually witness in Daesh or other extremist groups. So, you know, this misunderstanding at times and misuse of that, you know, prescription that is given by a pure Islamic understanding of the world, that is actually causing these problems that we are actually now are witnessing in, you know, in the name of Islamic extremism or, you know, sometimes Daesh or Al-Qaeda or other extremist groups.
Okay. And here, I mean, theocracy in the true sense of the word, if one rules over the world, I mean, well, the people has to get back into their fitrah, but we are busy so much with our surroundings in today's world, especially in the 21st century. You see how the media is working on the minds of the people. The people sometimes are forgetting themselves, let alone to think about the God inside themselves. So this is what the human beings are busy with in today as well. Sheikh Qasim Mohammadi and Ali Al-Abiyan, thank you much for your presence in the program Viewpoints.
Thanks to you, bro.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us on Arab English Radio. This is Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en. Also, visit our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. Till another episode, God bless you. Fi amanullah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you to doubt you would be there? just a mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light, guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you know I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen.